Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Let's talk about your juicy love with me, Una Drake. We explore relationships, dating, sacred union, communication, conscious love, healthy boundaries, and much more. As a dating and relationship coach for over 5 years, with a background in shamanic healing and metaphysical work, I've helped men and women, young and old, from all walks of life. My mission is to increase peace, joy, and love on planet Earth. So listen in and stay juicy.
All right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Valentine's edition of Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake. And today my special guest is David Amiri, and he's able to be with me here in person. So I'm very honored. Thank you, David, for being here.
Thank you, Una. I'm excited for Valentine's Day. I get to be here. That's amazing.
Absolutely. And for those who aren't familiar with David, David Amiri is a relationship coach and tantra teacher. Mm-hmm. And his website is passionateawakenings.com. And David, you were on a month or so ago, and we just had a fabulous conversation about triggers, because your work is so deep and so juicy that you help people not only connect with their partner and, you know, just go really deep in intimacy and connection, but also dealing with the emotions that come up, the negative emotions that can sometimes come up along the way. So we're just really happy to have you here. And
thank you. Yeah, thank you. I had so much fun when I was here with you. And I don't see how you can get close with each other and do anything successful unless you know how to navigate the territory that can interfere with that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because something's always coming up that could interfere with that. And it either will, or you'll have some way through it that lets you keep the connection and deepen the love.
Yeah. So today in our conversation, I especially want to talk about how to create a really juicy Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
And especially for those who are in an existing relationship, maybe they are just getting to know their partner, or maybe they've been married for 50 plus years, but all of us want to create more intimacy, more closeness, more juiciness in our relationship, especially around Valentine's Day.
We want that aliveness. We want love, and we want the juiciness. And everybody's in a relationship, aren't we? How can we not be in a relationship? We're in relationship with ourselves, most importantly, first and foremost. So if there are single people listening, you don't need a partner in order to have a Valentine's Day love affair with yourself and the rest of your beloved, meaning the rest of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, that's really true, because it's really like the whole world is our beloved. It's really about connecting with everyone around us.
We long for this, for love. We long for the feeling of love. Well, what's that? What's love anyway? It's like people have all kinds of definitions, and they're all correct, because that's all semantics. None of it's the real thing. It's all now mouth noises and things that we label experiences. But here's my version is, well, because I do. I teach about love. I talk about love. There's nothing I care about more than love. And what I say is that love is really nothing but the sensation of our connectedness with everything. The sensation of our connectedness with everything. And the more deeply we can feel our connectedness, the more deeply there's this sensation that vibrates in our body, in our being. And there can be emotions and thoughts that go along with it. In fact, there's all these associations and limitations that we put on it. And of course, when we're with some precious embodied beloved who, you know, we have a great relationship with, we'll experience the most of that that we can anywhere. But really, we just want the love. What, isn't it amazing when our hearts are open and we feel, we can even feel that we're in love without an object, without focusing it on a particular person, just with all the same mood states and sensations. It's really possible. That's what awakening is.
Wow. Yeah.
Like Rumi and Hafiz talk about romanticizing the relationship with the beloved, the spiritual relationship with life, which just means opening our own hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. So how would you suggest that people go about the process of opening their heart, you know? Like, what do you lead people through, you know?
Yeah, you know, the sad thing is that we close our hearts when we say no to something we're experiencing. So in other words, we actually spend a lot of our time and attention without noticing it and without being to blame for it, wanting it to be different, wanting something to be other than it is. Like, there's something I need to happen. I need it to be this way. I need this picture to somehow be fulfilled. And I cannot feel connected and fulfilled and happy until it's that way. Or there's something that's happening that shouldn't be. I have to get rid of it. I have to make it stop. Or I can't actually receive this moment and open to it. Mm-hmm. Open, that's our heart that's opening. Because heart is another interesting word. There's all kinds of ways we can talk about heart, and they're also all correct, but I have my way of thinking about it. So the heart, of course, is a physical organ, and then people talk about it as a chakra, but the way that I relate to it, I think the heart is just actually the center of our experience of ourselves.
Ah,
when nothing else is going on, pulling or pushing us someplace else where we come to rest, receiving our experience is in the heart of ourselves. And it's like in this Western identities that we've been brutally conditioned into and put on a hamster wheel of all kinds of ways we have to do things and think about things. We think that we're this person who's behind our eyes and between our ears. It's like we're up here somewhere. Our center of identity is like located in our head. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then we have a heart, we have a body, we check in with them now and then, maybe, you know. But what if we're not a head that has a heart?
Right.
What if we're a heart that has a head? What if that's us?
Yeah. What this conversation is making me think of is in, you know, shamanic practice, there's the four directions where you can think of the seven directions. And it's like our heart is really the center of the kind of that matrix, so to speak, you know, the north, south, east, west, and then above and below. But in the center is our heart. And that's really where we need to stay in our real power and in our real self is the origin point.
That is it. And that's such a beautiful indigenous wisdom that they remember, because in some Western traditions, or at least the way some people hear it or interpret it, it's like they think the goal is somehow to go up. It's like each chakra is kind of like more points or something. It's like we have to climb the tree and eventually we'll get the gold ring, the seventh chakra will open, and the bells will ring, and the thousand petaled lotus will open, and we'll be like in some experience that's completely alien, like we can't even imagine. It'd be like we're in a Disney movie or something, and it's not that. That's not awakening. It really, our heart opens, and all of them might be open. That would be wonderful. But the center of our experience is still our heart. And that's our loving connection with ourselves and with life and with those around us.
Yeah. It is about our lovingly being able to accept and interact with all of our experience, you know, our body experience, our body sensations, as well as our emotions and in our intellect and our connections with other people and the messy stuff that goes on in life, and everything, right?
Anything we judge and label not I then gets put in the shadow bag. And now we have some kind of a spiritual ego ideal. We have to be in the hamster wheel of trying to prove to people we are. But in the meantime, there's that other experience I sometimes have, which is not me, that's always sort of chasing me and it might come again. But I have to beat it back into the bushes. It's no fun.
Right. Okay. So for those, so let's bring this to Valentine's Day,
because
I want to ground this in stuff that's going on right now. And I know that there's, you know, people out there who are thinking of, you know, planning something special, or they're, you know, it's just in our consciousness, especially with Valentine's Day approaching, that connection is important. People do prioritize it at this time of year, you know. And so, but what about for people out there who are trying to put something together, trying to build that connection, but don't know exactly where to start?
This is beautiful, because I really don't want to be misheard on any of the other stuff, although it's kind of the always the entryway to how I like to engage with anyone, because it's the basis for having a conversation that's connected and that I see as meaningful about love. Of course, our relationships are the most precious thing in our lives. And of course, our love relationships, our significant other relationships, are precious, and we should cultivate them with care and really make space for more of what will be fulfilling, because we grow the most in those relationships. We experience the most love and pleasure in those, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, it's that's where we have the most intimacy, I think.
That's
you
it.
Know,
we can. That's where the intimacy is richest often. I think intimacy is another thing that our intimacy with anything is governed by our intimacy with ourselves at that moment. Have you noticed you can't be more intimate with any other person, place, or thing than you are with yourself, because that's the place in you that's experiencing the intimacy. So if we're deep in that experience of intimacy, we can have an intimate experience of anything. It will take us to a different place. It won't be like with a lover necessarily, but we can actually be intimate with the store clerk, intimate with something that needs a strong response, that something needs to be changed. There's an intimacy and connectedness when we're there connecting from our heart that makes everything actually go better, but from a connected place. Intimacy is a beautiful key, and we long for it so much, and we put so many limitations on how, when, and where we can experience intimacy, which is with ourselves primarily.
Yeah.
But that makes us feel close to everything.
That's fascinating. In fact, I want to skip this break. We are coming up on a break, but I'm going to say let's skip this break, because this is fascinating. And you've made a couple of points that I really want to delve into a lot more deeply. You say we can only be as intimate with someone else as we are comfortable being intimate with ourselves. Is that what you said?
As we are, in fact, intimate with ourselves in that moment.
Okay.
There's no like rating which is static for us. Our capacity for intimacy is connected to our capacity for presence in the moment. When we're triggered or upset or something happens that gets our automatic systems going, our presence recedes. Mm-hmm. We're no longer capable of intimacy in that moment. We're actually maybe interacting, but we're no longer communicating in intimacy. We're no longer deepening the connection and understanding between us.
Because we have to be present.
We have to be present. Who is it that's being intimate? It's us. We can only be intimate by being present. The more present we are, the more intimacy, whatever the scenario.
Right. Okay.
Presence is intimacy.
Okay. So if someone's having, I know how I teach people how to stay present. It's like I talk about like gathering your energy into your body. And that's, of course, coming from a shamanic perspective.
Right.
Again, you know, it's about, you know, I think a lot of times we live kind of partially outside of our body, you know, live in our head, almost like
lot.
We're floating above.
An awful lot.
Or, you know, living other places, or we're living on Facebook, or, you know, our attention, our connection, our thought, you know, where we're locating ourselves is somewhere other than here. boom, 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 where I'm at. You know?
I say losing our minds, coming to our senses. I say these things that I hope people will remember. That's one of the things I'm repeating endlessly in meditations and in my trainings is kind of, here we are now, losing our minds, coming to our senses. And it really is like most of the attention a lot of the time is in the stories we're telling ourselves about what we're experiencing and in our stories, narratives, interpretations about things. That's okay for some types of activities, but it's not being present to what we're actually experiencing. And I'm noticing that that is separate from our stories, narratives, and interpretations. Those can actually change. What we're experiencing is what we're experiencing, and we can feel it. And we can come back to our feelings and needs and our body sensations. And that is how to reconnect with, how to become more present.
Okay. And then, and then we can, if we're with a partner and yes. we're, say, trying to, you were trying this on, we're trying this on perhaps as a new way of being with a partner.
Could be.
You know, it could be. Yeah. I don't know. then we would try to be, we would do our best to be as present as possible in our bodies and with another person and notice what's going on and then speak that in a way that's not accusing to our partner.
This
but
is vulnerable.
Just, yeah.
This is oftentimes why we make the choice or abdicate the choice and become less present, is because it makes us uncomfortable to be authentic about some of the things we're experiencing. Especially in connection with others, when it's very important to us how people feel about us, how they think about us. We want things with them, and we want to be seen a certain way by them. And so it's like, wow, I'm experiencing something that if I said it, I'm not sure this would go well. So I think I'll try to like ignore that I'm experiencing that. So all of a sudden, what happened? We're actually leaving the sphere of our experience. And we're shallowing out the intimacy, which is why we're there in the first place. That's what we're wanting with them. We're taking it away from everybody when we do that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. We have to trust. We have to, it is an act of trust a lot of times to even talk about kind of the negative emotions.
It does take trust, but you know, it does take skill too, because we might trust that telling the truth is going to go well. And when we say something too quick, too harsh, with judgments and interpretations as the way we're blurting it, maybe it won't go well. And we sense that we don't know how to do it, so it will go well, so we kind of stuff it. And the truth is, we can learn together to have these conversations that allow us to deepen our intimacy and authenticity with each other. And learn to give and receive those kind of communications in ways that will go well.
Uh-huh. Okay. So like, say if someone's like planning a date with their beloved.
Right.
I'm thinking, okay, so you'd want to set up and maybe with the goal of creating intimacy. So maybe they prepare prepare a beautiful meal.
The senses are amazing. We do want to feed the senses. Hopefully, if we love someone that way and we're in love with them, then really they light up our senses, or they have at times. And we really need to go back and find that with each other, because everybody, when you really take them in, if you can really just stop everything else that's going on and receive them, everyone has an exquisite, unique flavor, their erotic essence, their own, the flavor of their soul essence. When we really love somebody, that's what we fall in love with. And it can be mirrored in how they look to us and their gestures and movements and their pheromones. And that we can, when we're cultivating a space for love, we want to invite those things. We want to invite our sensory connection with our partner and with all the other things we can do to delight our senses, not to distract ourselves from each other. What can create an atmosphere, an environment that brings us to our senses and helps us bring ourselves to each other from there? How can we put the lights right, the music right, soft music that will open our hearts? How can we make sure that the phones are off and everything's been taken care of, that there's no diversions and intrusions, that we have the time and the space. And you can take a, you know, take a bath, take a shower, have a nice meal, leisurely. We have to learn to slow things down. Just a pace of there's nothing to get to. There's nowhere to get. This is just to have a lovely evening and allow the evening to unfold. And there's nothing to make happen. There's nothing to be disappointed or freaked out about if it doesn't happen. It's just like, let's see what can happen, but let's invite connection and be interested in each other.
Right, right. I totally agree. Yeah, I think sometimes it can really take a dedication to create that space in our lives and with another person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so rewarding. We're going through all the parts of our life where the things we're experiencing may not be inviting to our senses. It still feels better if we experience our experience and are more present, but it's not like the thing we've been looking forward to that's there to delight our senses. So if we're looking forward to it, don't we deserve to make more time for that, to make that an attention in our lives?
Yeah. Well, and I also think like even some things that aren't, you know, aren't the most pleasant, if we can share them with a partner or like, you know, be vulnerable with a partner, it can help make it better. It can help ease that, you know, pain or ease whatever is going on that might be less than pleasant, you know?
Well, that's it. As we open to our partner, we're opening to each other. We're receiving each other. We're connecting with each other. And it's like the petals of a beautiful blossom that are opening. And what's on the top petal? Maybe it's their day. There's something about their day. Maybe they want to just say this, and this happened today. Wow, that felt frustrating, or this was exciting, and great. So now we're past that pedal and we're going deeper. And so there might be something which is like, you know, this month, in this whole period of my life, there's something there for me. I'm starting to feel like something is changing or something is needed, or wow, you're sharing. Now you're creating more intimacy. But it's not because you're trying to put on a dog and pony show and make a sexy thing right away. You're opening each other's hearts by really connecting with what's there, whatever's the strongest thing for. And then when you kind of empty the top of the stack, you're just there in an empty space together where you can be really interested in each other, and you might be getting aroused and feeling love and feeling humor or wanting to talk about appreciations. Appreciations are such amazing magic. We don't appreciate each other enough, and we can do that in many ways, but verbally is a good way, or with touch and gestures. It's like, offer each other appreciations. It's Valentine's Day. Spend 10 minutes, you know, just sitting and looking in each other's eyes and describing in detail what everything you really do appreciate about each other. See if that doesn't open up a space for juicy intimacy.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. And take notes ahead of time if you need to, you know, if you are not, you know, if you think that you might get stumped, you know, spend half an hour before you see your beloved and just write down all the things that you love about them or that you can appreciate about them. Okay, this is just a tip, you know, but I think sometimes just thinking about those things in our partner, true, especially if you've been together for a while, and maybe some of those things about that you appreciate about your partner don't naturally necessarily float to the top of mind, but They're there, you know?
That's it. When we can bring our presence to contemplating our partner and reflecting on what we value and appreciate about them, that is really opening our own hearts, and it's really cultivating a strong basis for things going well and being stable and resilient in your relationship, because we will have speed bumps and turbulences. And if we're always presencing how we do love and value and appreciate them and remembering that and holding it in our heart, makes it so much easier to navigate the challenging times.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just so wonderful knowing that another person is doing the same for us too. Like to hold each other in gentleness and in just love and appreciation. There's just, that is, I think, probably the thing that I value most about, you know, my relationship with my boyfriend, for example, you know, an intimate relationship is that just that holding and caring for the other person.
I agree. That's the most precious thing. And, you know, because we're there to give love and to bring that love to the relationship. We're not there to extract security and self-esteem and love from them. And that's not, and extracting anything isn't the way that it may be, it may come to flow towards us. It's in really that capacity to be allies to each other and to say, whatever comes up for you, I just want to relate to it in a constructive way. I just want to support you. I want to understand you, first of all. If we're not seeing eye to eye, I want us to slow it down and to really try to understand each other and what we're really saying and coming from, and understand there must be some authentic, precious needs underneath it for each of us, and we can find a way mutually if we're willing to hold each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like we're coming up on a break. So I think this is a good time to go to a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with more juicy ideas for Valentine's Day and how to build real intimacy. I'm here with David Amiri. I'm Una Drake. Thank you.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Have you ever heard of the 90-10 rule? It goes like this. 90% of the time, no one is thinking of you. 90% of the time, everyone's thinking about themselves. And if you think of it like that, it takes the weight off, because now you're not being judged. I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on Playing on the Edge Radio, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Radio FM.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
All right, we're back. I'm Una Drake, and I'm here today with David Amiri. of PassionateAwakenings.com. David is a relationship coach and a tantric teacher. Today we are talking about how to create a juicy Valentine's Day. And in the first part, we talked about just creating intimacy and what does that mean, being in our heart space and really, you know, connecting with our beloved, which, of course, we all want to do on Valentine's Day, right? But now I want to talk about how to warm up a relationship. I know there's a lot of people out there who, you know, have maybe been in a relationship and married, or, you know, just been with their beloved for a long time. And maybe things don't feel as juicy or connected as you would like them to be. But you're devoted to your relationship and you want to bring that juice back in. David, where would you recommend that someone starts, you know, if they are really feeling that kind of distance?
Once again, I have to say, you have to start with self-connection and start with checking in with your own heart. Okay. So if you're feeling that you are longing for more intimacy and juiciness in an existing relationship, and you'd like to invite some of that, check in with yourself. Check in with yourself. How has that been for you? And why do you think it was that way? Not like to get a whole story and analysis because they're this, that, and the other, you know, but really, like, what can you own? I would say, first and foremost, what can you own about how you have contributed to that fire being, you know, being dim? And it's not about so much about the whole kind of violations and apologies, although some of that may be necessary. It's more about attentiveness. And there's usually something there. There's something that we've been avoiding or resisting or judging that we haven't connected about and cleared or reconciled in some way. And so that shallows out our intimacy, and we can accumulate quite a stack of such things until the intimacy is practically nil. The companionship may be there. The practical support may be there. You may know that you really love each other under it all, but you have a hard time opening your hearts and finding the joy and the juiciness together. It's because there's something you're feeling that you're not sharing about, usually.
Sure. Okay. I know that I've been tripped up by this in past relationships. When I feel like I'm stuck like in my own hurt, and I don't,
right.
And I feel like if I just maybe talk to my partner about that I'm just going to be almost like vomiting on them about right. how I'm so hurt and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to do that. And I guess maybe some of my fault is like, I want to be bigger than that, but that's not where I'm at.
You know, there's no bigger than a certain feeling, but there is the one thing there's a grade scale on is your skills. So there's no grade scale on feelings. Well, all of our feelings are valid. All of our needs are valid. And it doesn't matter why it got to where it is now. What matters is where we want it to go and how we bring ourselves to that. But there is skill needed. And I do couples counseling. There's many fine counselors or leading workshops. I do a lot of that. And maybe you have some skills. Maybe one of you is more skilled than the other. It's really important if you're going to, and this is why a lot of people don't, if you're going to tread into the minefield, into charged territory where people could have strong feelings or volatile feelings or differences of opinion and old hurts, old that we're sunburned about, like if we touch it, that we'll react right away.
The triggers.
We actually need a strong container. We need some ground rules, and we need a way of approaching it that is going to have a good result. Because if you poke a mine with a stick, it's going to blow up on you. And if you come to it with the skill to know how to caress it and disarm it, then you'll be safe and you'll get to the other side of the minefield.
Okay.
You know, and I really do think that that's very important. It's important to bring yourself to trying. You can say, you know what, my beloved, I have been feeling that there's things that have been in the way for us. There's things we haven't addressed. And I've been longing for more love and intimacy. I want things to feel better. I want some of the juiciness back. Our lives are going by. But I don't know that we have the skill to do these conversations well by ourselves. Let's go to a workshop together, honey, or a counselor, or buy a book at least, or, you know, or dust off our tools if you did a workshop like that in the past, you know, to really remember how to bring yourselves to it so that it can go well.
That makes a ton of sense.
Oh, my God.
And then it kind of create some sort of neutral territory that you can both come to. And it's not just like one partner kind of creating the rules or bringing up all the grievances and just dumping them
on
the other.
We need to feel very safe if we're about to hear things that our beloved is unhappy about, or if we're going to even talk about things that we have old unreleased hurts about. Hurts, angers, fears. If we're going to talk about those things, we really need to make sure that we know how to be allies when we're traversing that territory, so that we're like on the same team and the minds are, you know, our goal is to disarm the minds, not that we're entering into a boxing ring and we're adversaries with each other. As soon as you're in that frame of reference, you're not going in the right direction. Back up and pause. Stop it. Say, you know what? Remember, we said we were going to be on the same team going through the minefield together. We're not boxing in the boxing ring. So can we stop and change that part again?
Right. Absolutely.
And a lot of reassurances is good. Reassuring your partner that you love them and care about them. And it's really painful that you see things differently. And I don't understand why, but guess what? I'm really willing to try to understand. Can you tell me what needs this is meeting for you? And what you're really feeling. Wow, it's hard to hear. I have such a big story about you in this part, but okay, I'll go back to listening. You know, it's like that.
That's wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, if you know that there are things that you want to bring up or that you feel need to be brought up with a partner, you know, maybe a really good way to help them feel safe as you bring that up is to, you know, do something special for them on Valentine's Day or, you know, this week, you know, soon.
Indeed.
You know, create a beautiful environment for them. You know, do something special to in service to them. You know, show them demonstrably that you care and that you care about them individually and that you care about your relationship. And that can really, I think, soften things and make it safer when you bring up, and I've noticed that things aren't as juicy as I would like them to be. And we haven't been as close as I would like, or that maybe there's
it's
this
even
or
nice
that
to
issue.
Say it in the positive, to say, I've been thinking, I've really been longing for things to feel juicier. I want more with you. Rather than approaching it with, I've been noticing that things aren't. Or, you know, it's just we'll invite more of what you do want. It's easier to get the flies with the honey. And, you know, remember what I said about appreciations? They have this thing about love languages. Most people have heard of it.
Yeah.
Any of the love languages is a good love language, is a good language to offer appreciations in, to give someone appreciation through touch, through quality time, through words of appreciation, like we said, through gifts, okay, and through acts of service. All of those things are ways that you can show your appreciation. And boy, don't we love being appreciated and doted upon? And it just warms our hearts and melts our defenses and helps us be in a space where juiciness might arise.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's a wonderful points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what if someone is single now? They don't have a partner, but they want a partner. Maybe mm-hmm. they're in the process of dating, or, you know, they don't want to give up on love, but they also want, you know, they're in the process of dating, but they don't have a partner. How can they create a juicy Valentine's Day?
You know, people don't realize it. Dating's an amazing opportunity for intimacy, dates. You know, it's like people Because everything we're taught about dating in this culture is wrong. It's like we're going to go to a date. What we're doing is it's like we're kind of interviewing. We're on an interview. And it's like, are we going to hire this person or not? And it's like all or nothing. Are we going to hire them forever or not? First of all, and then what are, and do they match our list? Okay. We have a list with 100 things on it. And it's not just like our core standards about, well, it can't be someone who's like abusive, or it's more like it's Prince Charming, okay? And it's like it has to be exactly this movie, and it's like, oh my god, now we're matching them and sorting them, and we're ready to, it's like 10 minutes and they're in the garbage bin. It's like, nah, not this one, okay, sorry, next. I think I'll turn the channel or go to a different website. It's like we objectify these dating relationships because, well, we're not intimate with them yet. But wait, if we're intimate with ourselves and we bring interest and curiosity to anybody, whether we're dating them or not, to the guy in the store, you know, but especially we're on a date, it's like, what if there were no goal in a date? What if a date was an opportunity for intimacy and to enjoy and explore a person you've just met?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And figure out where what might want to happen next without even knowing, without a goal, like we're, no, I only have time to have dates with people who might be the one, you know?
You know, I see what you're saying, and I also do feel like people, like I encourage my clients to have some clarity around what they want, but yeah, because it can create more of a structure or a container. It can help focus, especially for people who maybe have been floating around for a while and don't know what they want. You know, I think having clarity around what you do want is important. But then once you're on that date, then you need to kind of let that go and just be with the other person.
You know, I agree with all of that. But the first part of what you said, I think we approach it maybe, I don't know, we get to the same place. But I like to do it from the inside. I don't do it from the external characteristics and from list building. I do it from self-connection, because guess what? When we really are connected with our bodies and our hearts in real time, then we can tell what we're open to with another without knowing the reasons. And it might change, but we can trust what we're feeling in the moment from a place of deeper self-connection. And I like to navigate that way. Like when you are feeling, I'm curious, I'm intrigued, I want more with you, I would spend 45 minutes in a cafe with you. Let's do that. I'm liking this. This is interesting. No, I'm actually kind of starting to get bored. I'm not sure we have a lot in common. This might be enough. And then you say something in the last 10 minutes and we're like, oh, well, I didn't realize that we would have this connection. Maybe it's not even what I thought I was looking for, but there's some whole dimension of something that is interesting. And maybe you're not a date, but you're something that we could be excited about having together. Just follow the bouncing ball. It all works out.
Sure, sure. Yes, I almost think that there's kind of two approaches to getting to the same place, you know.
Maybe so.
And I think that as someone just myself, like I've had a history of in a sense almost making myself too open to people who did not end up being good for me. Like I have past history of that, and that's something that I needed to overcome.
And was that because you weren't able to track and act from your connected sensibilities in those moments as they unfolded?
Yes, yeah, because I wasn't, I just had no connection to that in my growing up years, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you could get into all sorts of psychology about it.
To the extent that you can't self-regulate in real time in a connected way, you should have some good lists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think having some basics sorted out ahead of time can really help people like me, or, you know, I think a lot of people have some just, you know, maybe need a little bit of guidance in that area.
Most people. No, we're not really thinking about this differently. My emphasis is on the work on awakening.
Sure.
When I speak to these issues, I'm speaking from a perspective of wanting to help people to cultivate self-connection and spiritual awakening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which means less and less of the concepts are the beliefs, the conditioning, the identities. We don't actually need them. What we need is to come back home to what we're experiencing and navigate in connected ways.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to get people to also. And you want them to be safe on the journey, and you're receiving them from where they're at today. I think it's just totally congruent.
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to skip the next break. Because this is getting really, really good. Because I'm thinking about this from a perspective of, say, like attachment theory.
Right.
And you have people like... I come from more of being more of an anxious attachment style.
Right.
Like I want attachment, and I've tended to attach even in cases where it's not appropriate.
Right.
And so I've needed to set clear boundaries and like have lists you could say, or things that I will accept and things that I won't accept, and have, it's been important for me on my journey to know some of that ahead of time.
I agree.
Whereas I think some people who come from like a more avoidant attachment perspective, you know, attachment style, that it can be difficult. I think people with an more avoidant attachment style tend to maybe create lists from a perspective of like holding people to like an unrealistic standard, and
right,
then using it as an excuse to not
exactly
connect. And if that's where you're coming from, then that's not going to work for you. I mean,
right,
you know, you need
right
to set that list aside and find reasons to connect, because
right,
there always will be reasons to not connect if you are fundamentally coming
well,
from an avoidant
well,
person.
The thing about it, I love attachment styles and I integrate them to the way I teach, but sometimes people get the idea about them that they're just kind of like fixed things that are, each person has one, like an astrology sign or Myers-Briggs type.
Right.
They're not that. Anxious and avoidant attachment styles are from trauma, and a secure attachment style is a healed heart. And so, but in each moment, or with each different person, or in over a lifetime, in the course of our healing journey, we're more or less in our healed heart with access to that secure attachment style, and we'll have the typical ways we spin out. So we should be aware of that. But the people, you know, the answer in it is always through our self-connection. And so you're really going to heal that anxious attachment style for those of us who had it. That was my style earlier too. You know, if we're going to heal that, we have to realize when it's active, when we're wanting to cling on and grasp, or from a deficiency base, and whether it's a good person or not, that is a contraction in us.
Yeah.
And we're enter into our self-connection so that we can get more congruent with the way the living energy wants to flow through us and what it's time for in each relationship.
That's fascinating. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is good stuff. All right. So you have a couple of events coming up.
I do. You know, we were talking about singles and dating, and my dear friend Catherine Almond is a Tantra teacher from Southern California, an amazing wisdom woman who is and a therapist, you know, for decades for a long time. And she's coming up to Seattle to lead an evening with me on tantric dating, because
wow,
she wrote the book on it. She wrote just recently released a book called Tantric Dating. And she's really hot on the tail of all these kind of things that we were talking about, of how to bring tantric sensibilities to your dating and deconstruct all of these typical conditioning and paradigms about dating, so that we can be having a wonderful and spiritual experience of love with anybody we do choose and decide is worth going on a date with, no matter what the outcome of that date is.
Absolutely.
It can be an experience of love and intimacy.
I think that's so important. It's so important. You know, if you get to the point of saying yes to a date with someone, then for the time that you're on that date, they deserve your attention. And you deserve, both of you deserve the respect for that time that you've set aside to spend together to like really be there.
That's it.
And fully, I think that's a gift, no matter if you choose to go on a second date with this person or not, that during the time that you have together, you are giving them the gift of your presence and your attention. And it can be really, I have found even some dates that didn't go anywhere, you could say, but I still remember them because I was present, because I had the discipline, you could say, or the just, I see it almost like as a spiritual discipline to be present with another person.
It's both. It's a discipline, just like enjoying being in love and having lovemaking are. It's a discipline, you could say, but it's also, it's a desire. We have a desire for presence. We have a deep longing. It may be the most powerful longing. We're giving ourselves what we want when we allow ourselves to be more present. And it's the door that everything we really want and like can come in through anyway.
Absolutely.
It's a gift to us and to everyone around us.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I've even thought, I don't know what you think about this, but sometimes I've thought that, you know, sometimes it can be weird how we connect with people and maybe end up on a date with somebody, you know, and I've had the sense that I was tying up like karmic threads from past lives.
Oh my God.
Even if just going on one date with someone, that it was like a connection that to happen.
You
and then
follow the spidey sense. This is the other thing about, yeah, it's like basic self-awareness to know what kind of things work well for you, what you need in relationship, not someone who'll do something like this, someone I can count on for this, someone who has some basic standards and characteristics that are just are healthy. Things.
Sure.
That's a good list. But the rest of it, the list can mislead us. Follow the spidey sense.
Yeah.
Follow that tingle of synchronicity, because you don't even know why you're being drawn together like iron filings by the larger intelligence and what it is you have to exchange with each other, what little gift or big gift or how long it will take and where it will lead you. We just don't know unless we follow those feelings of, I feel like I would like to connect with you and find out where that goes and how much I want.
Right. You know? Yeah, absolutely. And like, what is this about? Like, you
right.
know, there is a connection because in some sense you're connected.
Let's explore. We're all yeah. connected with everything forever in every direction anyway. So just to follow the things that feel strong where the energy goes. And that's what the tantric approach to dating and my version of it. But we want Catherine's version. And that's this Thursday in Seattle. And
that's wonderful.
Not far from here is going to be in Capitol Hill area. And
okay.
I'm really excited and looking forward to that. It's going to be a lovely, delightful evening. And we're streaming it. I forgot to mention, like I've done with the Trigger Happy workshop recently. That worked out so well. We're streaming it so people can actually attend this workshop from anywhere. And you can find the details on my website or on Facebook if you find the Tantric Dating event or information about that. Or just go to from anywhere, from any event or any place on my website. If you go to my ticketing page, you'll find how to buy a ticket for the online stream.
And that's PassionateAwakenings.com.
Passionate Awakenings, plural with the S.
Yes.
PassionateAwakenings.com. And yeah, just check it out. I do couples counseling. I do these tantra trainings and workshops. I'm doing a level one training, which is a weekend training called Erotic Devotion. And that is at the end of March. And there are other wonderful things coming up. And I love mm-hmm. to connect with people. I do a free consultation. And if you're moved to ask me questions about my work, about individual or couples counseling, or about the trainings and the workshops, just hit me up. I'll spend some time with you. I like to meet people. No big push.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. And people can, again, sign up to talk with you on your website. Is that
That's
correct?
Right. People okay. can go and request a free consultation. Just yeah. to go to the Work With Me page.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So we have a few more minutes left. Any final thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with?
Oh, my God. I love you. And we should say that more. Why can we, you know, we really, love is safe. Love is not dangerous or threatening. It's vulnerable in the sense that it exposes us to our actual experience, but everything is in that sense. It's actually the safest place to be, is in love and in our vulnerability and with our heart open to what we're experiencing. We don't get any more safety or protection from closing our heart or disconnecting. And then we can't see the road, so we drive off it often. So we get better results if we stay connected. So really, I love you. What could be more important than love? Make the world safe for love and love each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. And hey, guys, stay juicy out there, okay? Create, tell your beloved that you love them. Tell people in your life, even if, tell your parents, tell your kids, tell your pets, tell the tree outside your window that you love it. And really focus on that juicy connection with everything, all that is. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much, and stay juicy out there.
You've been listening to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake. Tune in each month as Dr. Pat and I co-host together, creating juicy conversations, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. I interview amazing guests, and you'll learn how to transform your relationships so you can stay juicy. To learn more about me or to listen to past shows, visit my website at unadrake.com.